Revelation chapters 21 and 22 describe heaven as a beautiful city in splendid detail. The holy city has walls, gates, foundations, streets, rivers, trees, vegetation, and more. While the apocalypse of Jesus Christ is full of much symbolism, there is nothing in the context of those chapters that should lead us to believe that heaven is anything other than a physical place. Heaven is not the figment of a trumped-up religious imagination. It is not Neverland or Candyland or Alice in Wonderland. Heaven is more than pie in the sky by and by. It's a real place where God the Father dwells, and Jesus sits at his right hand. The Bible says there's a new world coming. It's something all believers in Jesus anticipate by faith. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Have you ever wondered what heaven will be like? What you'll be like when you get there? Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and you're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Today, Ron takes you to the largest description of heaven found anywhere in your Bible. It came to the Apostle John in a vision from Jesus himself, and he wrote down what he saw in Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Prepare yourself to get homesick for heaven as Ron continues his teaching series, Heaven, the Father's House, and My Eternal Home. Be sure to come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand, on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, from Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron and today's Something Good Radio message, Heaven and the New Jerusalem.
Well, the revelation of Jesus Christ is, of course, the last book of the Bible, and it contains a thrilling ride and a thrilling conclusion to Bible prophecy and end times events on earth. It also concludes with the largest description of heaven and the eternal state found anywhere in the Bible. Wouldn't you like to go there? Wouldn't you like to catch a glimpse of what the Apostle John caught a glimpse of, a vision of, while he was there on the island of Patmos, imprisoned, as it were? John received this vision from the Lord. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 5, here's what the Apostle John saw in a vision. He writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Well, that's enough to get me, and I hope you as well, leaning forward, intrigued by what John saw about the new heaven and the new earth and the eternal state. When we talk about the eternal state, we're talking about a time in Bible prophecy that is after these next events, the rapture of the church, followed by the 7 years of tribulation on this earth, concluding in the second coming of Jesus Christ and the battle of Armageddon, where he defeats his enemies, followed by the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year reign where he sets up his kingdom on this earth, then followed by the eternal state, the new heaven and the new earth. And that's where John is in Revelation chapter 21. The first question that pops into my mind is, why is God making all things new? He says that at the end, "Behold, I am making all things new. Now, I love new things as much as you do. I love a new car, and I love new clothes. My wife loves new clothes. We love to visit new places. I love new things. Maybe you like things just as they are. If you are, and if you do, maybe you'll be a little bit disappointed that there's a new world coming. There's a new heaven and a new earth and a new holy city, Jerusalem. We love new beginnings, a lot of us do. I love the rhythm of life and nature that starts a new season of the year, just about the time I'm done with summer and the heat, then comes fall, and then comes winter, and then spring. We love the start of brand new things. I love a new restaurant. I love new experiences. Maybe you're somebody who loves, you know, things just as they are. But the one who is seated on the throne says, behold, take a look at this, I am making all things new. But why a new heaven? And why a new earth? Why a new Jerusalem? What's wrong with the old heaven and the old earth and the old city, Jerusalem? Well, I think it's easy to understand why God will make a new earth. The Bible says in the book of Romans that all creation groans. Doesn't it feel like that? You know, you live your life and it just seems that something doesn't work well in this world. We get a constant supply of negative news, of things that are broken in this world. And your body, you know, your body ages and gets old. I understand, you know, all creation groans. You get a little bit older and you roll out of bed and you groan in the morning, right? Well, the Bible says the world is like that. All of creation groans. It kind of reminds me of an old roller coaster I rode on at Six Flags Over Texas years ago. It was called Judge Roy Scream. Made you scream like a six-year-old girl, I'm telling you. And Judge Roy Scream was one of these old, rickety, wooden roller coasters. I guess it still met the safety standards for the day. I was riding in the back, you know, of this roller coaster. I swear to you, it came off the track a couple of times. I mean, Judge Roy Scream, just old and rickety, as compared to the new smooth technology up the road at Busch Gardens, you know. The Pantheon, the Griffin, I hear. I stopped riding roller coasters years ago because every time I rode one, I felt like every, you know, organ in my body was rearranged afterwards. It took me days to recover. So I let the younger folks ride the new technology. But the world like that we're in today is like Judge Roy Scream, groaning. It isn't the paradise for which we were created. We're living in paradise lost. In fact, this aging earth is stained and tarnished by sin, viciously marred by corruption. That's the world in which we live. It's fallen. And despite sincere efforts by some to save the planet, its destruction is inevitable. This old earth is worn out, winding down, and falling apart. And then when you read ahead in Bible prophecy to that period of time known as Daniel's 70th week, Jacob's trouble, the seven-year tribulation, when you read about the cataclysmic destruction that will come upon this earth, I completely understand the need for a new earth and God creating a new earth. But why a new heaven? What's wrong with the present heaven? And why a new holy city, Jerusalem? I've been to Jerusalem. If there's any part of the earth that I'd want to hold on, Jerusalem, beautiful city. But there's a new holy city, Jerusalem, that John pictures coming down out of heaven. Well, at the very least, we can say God loves to create new things, doesn't he? He's up to something new in your life, and that something new is something good. In fact, years ago, through the prophet Ezekiel, God told ancient Israel, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. That was part of what was called in the Old Testament the new covenant. And when Jesus was with his disciples on the night before he was crucified, he broke bread with them and he passed the cup around and he talked about the new covenant in my blood. God loves to do new things. He wants to do a new thing in your life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. But the old has passed, and behold, the new has come. You're not just a renovated you in Christ. You're a brand new creation in Christ. That means you aren't who you once were. And when the devil comes and replays all the old audio and video of your life, you can look at him and say, that's not me anymore. That's the old me. And I'm a new creation in Christ. King David declared joyfully in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And so it shouldn't surprise us that the God of the Bible will make all things new again in the eternal state. Now, of course, this means the first earth and the first heaven must go away. And John says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, I saw the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Now, what does he mean by this? And how will the earth and heaven as we know and understand it pass away or be destroyed? Well, hold your place in Revelation chapter 21 and go with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter gives us some insight. Remember, in the context of 2 Peter, Peter was addressing the scoffers who do what scoffers do. They were scoffing about all this talk about the soon return of Jesus Christ. And that's when Peter wrote these words to encourage believers in Jesus about the coming of our Lord. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, Peter says, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Peter wants the skeptics and the scoffers to know of the first time that God brought destruction upon this earth. He rewinds history, biblical history, all the way back to the early chapters of Genesis and to the story of Noah, and how God decided to destroy the earth, save one family, Noah and his family. And he did this by a worldwide cataclysmic flood. By the way, there is massive amounts of evidence on this earth of a worldwide flood, if you're willing to listen to the truth. That's a whole other story.
Don't go away. Ron Jones will be right back with the second half of today's Something Good radio message, Heaven and the New Jerusalem.
Some of life's greatest adventures take place on a road trip. Nothing is more enjoyable than traveling the open highway with the windows rolled down and the music turned up. Each town, each exit, an experience all its own. Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio, and today I'm inviting you to take a road trip with me. You see, I'm convinced that reading the Bible is the greatest literary adventure you can ever take. But with 66 books, 2 testaments, and more than 600,000 words, it can be a daunting journey to attempt. That's why I wrote my 2-volume book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, where I give you a bird's eye view of God's Word so you can clearly see how it all fits together. All 66 books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So pack your bags and join me on the ultimate road trip through the Bible. You'll be glad you did. Here's Brian with details.
The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volume 1 and 2, can be yours today by request for your gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. When you order the print versions, you'll also get instant access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to request the 2-volume set and to gain immediate access to the Route 66 digital library. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Pastor Ron, not only did you break this project up into 2 volumes, but you created what you call 8 different road trips, 5 in the Old Testament and 3 in the New. Help our listeners understand the motivation behind that literary structure.
You know, Brian, categorizing the various books of the Bible into 8 separate groups is nothing new. They include the books of the law, the Old Testament historical books, the wisdom books, the major prophets, the minor prophets. Then we're into the Gospels and the early church, the Pauline epistles, and we finish up with the general epistles in Revelation. But when I first decided to compare the reading of God's Word to a travel adventure, well, it took me almost no time to come up with the phrase road trip to identify these 8 sections of Scripture. What I believe the reader will begin to see a little more clearly is that the books of the law, for example, point to the person and work of Jesus Christ as much as the Gospels do. That's because the Bible is one story with one main character. His name is Jesus, and he is the Christ. My hope is that by experiencing the 66 books of the Bible as 8 separate road trips, this overarching theme will be easier to recognize and understand.
Such a great idea, Pastor Ron. We're so glad you decided to share this important book with us. Again, that's The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, and both volumes are yours as our thank you when you give a gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245. Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456. Have you ever thought about where heaven will be? Will it be in some faraway galaxy or some obscure fourth dimension? Answers come your way next in the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Heaven and the New Jerusalem. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
And then following that event, God put a rainbow in the sky, the Bible says. He made a covenant with Noah, and the sign of that covenant was not the LGBTQ lifestyle. Sorry, don't hijack God's covenant sign in the sky. It was a covenant and a sign in the sky that said to Noah, I will never destroy this earth again by water. And this is what Peter reminds us of. However, he says that by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire. God never said I would never destroy the earth again. He said I just won't do it by a cataclysmic worldwide flood. But there's coming a day when he will destroy the earth as we know it by fire. And that's why it's always a good reminder for all of us not to get too invested in this world. The only thing that will last into eternity from this world are souls and the eternal Word of God. The rest of it is going up in fire and smoke. Now, all of us talk about the world and the earth being stored up for fire has led some to speculate about the role of nuclear weapons of mass destruction. You know, the world's going to go up in fire because somebody's going to push the button and destroy the entire earth. One Bible scholar says modern atomic science has revealed that the elements that make up the world are stored with power. For example, there is enough atomic energy in a glass of water to run a huge ocean liner, he says. Man has discovered this great power, and as a result, the world seems to teeter on the brink of atomic or nuclear destruction. This Bible teacher goes on to say, however, Peter seems to indicate that man will not destroy the world by his sinful abuse of atomic energy. It is God who will push the button at the right time and burn up the old creation and all the works of sinful man with it. Then he will usher in the new heavens and earth and reign in glory. As one author said years ago, there's a new world coming. God is up to something new. Behold, I am making all things new. Doesn't that sound exciting? The all-powerful God of the Bible will bring it into existence at a time of his choosing, just as he spoke the first worlds into existence with the same word. He will create a new heaven and a new earth and bring it into existence. But that means the old world must pass away to make room for the new. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 21 and dive into this a little bit deeper. I think it's important to make a distinction between heaven in the eternal state and heaven as we understand it today, that place where departed spirits who believe in Jesus Christ currently dwell. Remember, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I mean, it's a post-resurrection language that the New Testament uses, and we would call that presence with the Lord, of course, heaven. But it appears from a careful reading of Revelation chapter 21 that one day the new heaven and the new earth will exist as one continuous realm. Now, it's hard to imagine and hard to picture this, but the Bible describes the new Jerusalem as coming down out of heaven from God to rest upon the new earth. And it seems to suggest that in eternity, believers will exist in the new earth and the new heaven at the same time. Dr. Robert Jeffress, who's the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, wrote a book years ago called How Can I Know? Answers to Seven of Life's Most Important Questions. And in there, he addressed questions about heaven and the eternal state. He says, one of the greatest misconceptions about heaven, he's referring to the eternal state, is that it is located in some distant galaxy far, far away, or in some invisible fourth dimension that will be inhabited by the disembodied spirits of Christians. Nothing could be further from the truth, he says. The Bible teaches that the ultimate dwelling place for Christians will be a recreated earth, not an ethereal and undefined location in outer space. I think Dr. Jeffress is on to something. It makes perfect sense, especially when the Bible says that the righteous shall inherit the earth. I don't want to inherit, you know, this old rickety Judge Roy scream kind of earth. I want to be part of the new heaven and the new earth. I might want to inherit the present Jerusalem, but there's a new Jerusalem coming as well, a new holy city. It's all going to be new. And this recreated earth, which merges into heaven and the new Jerusalem, becomes one continuous realm. Not where we're floating around on clouds strumming our harps. No, that's a completely unbiblical view of what we will do in heaven, which we'll talk about in the weeks to come. But we will have a glorified body at the resurrection, where our redeemed souls and spirits are reunited, and we will inhabit a physical earth that then merges into heaven. And this recreated earth will also be the place where God lives with his people.
He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And that's what heaven will be like. Encourage one another with these words.
Now, apart from Christ, he sees you and he sees me for the sinful liars and murderers and adulterers that we are. But he loves us so much and he wants to hang out with us that he's made it possible for us to enter into the most holy city you and I will ever experience. But you come on the merits of Jesus Christ, not on your own merits.
That's next time when Ron shares part two of his message, Heaven and the New Jerusalem. Join us then for Something Good, For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.